Voters in the Republic will go to the polls on Friday to decide whether to reform Ireland's abortion laws. Currently, the Eighth Amendment recognises the rights of the mother and the rights of the unborn child as equal. A vote to repeal the Eighth would pave the way for new legislation governing abortion. Our Dublin correspondent, Shane Harrison, with us today. Good morning to you, Shane.
Good morning, Stephen.
How did this referendum, let's go back to the start then, Shane. How did this referendum come about?
Well, in 1983, 4 years after a papal visit, the people of the Republic put into a constitution the Eighth Amendment, which gives equal rights to life, to the mother and to the unborn, as far as is practical. But in the meantime, there have been a number of hard cases, and of course, hard cases may make for bad law, but they also change public perceptions about abortion. In 1992, you had the X case. This is the 14-year-old schoolgirl, the victim of a statutory rape, who was initially prevented from leaving Ireland for a British abortion. In the meantime, you've had cases like Savita Halappanavar, the Indian dentist, who was taken to hospital pregnant and ill. She called for an abortion as her health greatly deteriorated, but the medics didn't give her one. They say that it was because of the Eighth Amendment, or that was a contributory factor. Other doctors say no, she died of sepsis and the Eighth Amendment wasn't. But in any case, public perception about abortion changed. And there have been other cases since then. A woman kept alive on a life support system while pregnant, even though she was clinically dead. Her parents wanted the life support system turned off. Eventually it went to the courts and it was decided that at 16 weeks the fetus wouldn't be able to survive outside of the womb. There was the case as well of a woman who came to Ireland, a refugee, a victim coming from a war zone, a victim of a rape. She was suicidal. She obviously didn't have a passport or the documentation to go to Britain for an abortion. She ended up being forced into a cesarean section. All of those cases have changed public perceptions from 1983 about the issue of abortion. But on the other hand, it's important to stress that the no side, those who want to keep the Eighth Amendment, say that this is fundamentally a human rights issue, that in any pregnancy there are two rights, that of the mother and of the unborn. And if you repeal the Eighth Amendment, you're going to normalise abortion and it's going to increase Irish abortion rates, even though 9 women leave the Republic every day for British abortions and 4 risk a 14-year jail term by importing pills via the internet without any medical supervision to induce a pregnancy termination.
And where do the main parties stand on this, Shane?
They're divided, Stephen. Fine Gael, the main government party, is campaigning for a yes vote, but it's allowing its TDs and senators and party representatives to vote according to their conscience, and there are a number of their TDs who will vote no. Fianna Fáil's leader, Micheál Martin, Fianna Fáil, the main opposition party, he's also urging a yes vote, but the majority of his parliamentary party are going to vote no. Sinn Féin is urging a yes vote, but two of its TDs, Carol Nolan from Offaly and Paddy Tobin from Meath, they're urging a no vote. Indeed, Paddy Tobin was the main spokesman for the no side in the major TV debate on RTE television last night. The hard left TDs, the Trotskyite parties, they're all very much in favour of yes. And as you know from the Irish Parliament, the Dáil at the moment, there are a whole rake of independent TDs. They vary as to which side they take.
Shane, thank you very much indeed. Ivana Bacsik is a Labour senator who is with us this morning. Ivana, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. Well, this is obviously a very emotive debate. People have very strong opinions on this. Ivana, what's yours?
Well, you're right that it is a very emotive debate, and certainly there's been a great deal of coverage, a great deal of discussion and so on. But I think, and I should say, I've been canvassing up and down the country with the Together for Yes campaign, which is the National Civic Society campaign, and also with my own party, Labour, which is also calling for a yes vote and indeed opposed the original amendment in 1983. But I think over the 35 years since the amendment was inserted, as your correspondent Shane has said, there's been a whole series of tragic cases in which women have been harmed by the Eighth Amendment, and indeed in the case of Savita, very tragically, a woman died. So we really learnt, I think, just how much damage it can do, and I think we've also learnt that it doesn't stop women from travelling for abortion, 9 or 10 every day who travel to England, and now increasingly 3 or 4 women every day who are taking the abortion pill here in Ireland in circumstances where they have no access to medical support or supervision, and where, of course, it is a criminal offence for them to do so, so they're under threat of criminal sanction. And I think because of all of that, I think increasingly people are realising that the law is too restrictive and that we need to remove from the Constitution the absolute ban which currently prevents us as legislators from providing for any reform, even in cases where a woman or girl has been raped or is a victim of incest, or where a pregnancy poses a risk to a woman's health, or indeed in the devastating consequence of a couple receiving a diagnosis that a child won't be born alive, in other words, fatal fetal abnormality. So I think for all of those reasons, we're seeing a real increase in support for the yes. Having said that, Stephen, you know, there is a very vocal no campaign also around the country with particularly graphic posters and imagery, and I think it will be a close result, but certainly we'll be campaigning very hard to seek to ensure that on Friday there is a yes vote.
I'm sure Bernie Smith from Precious Life will have a view on what you've just said. Good morning to you, Bernie.
Good morning, Stephen. Yes, Ireland has come a long way since 1983. We have world-class health service for women that cares for both. And I think to address what Ivana was saying there about the tragic case of Savita Halappanavar, and I think it's very tragic that and disingenuous for anyone to use her case to advance legislation that would actually take the lives of unborn children, vulnerable unborn children. The actual outcome of that inquiry made very clear that I think it was October 2013, that found that the medical team missed 13 opportunities to intervene and save her life. The staff failed to locate the infection which led to her life, and it wasn't due to the fact that we have the Eighth Amendment that protects both mother and child. But the Eighth Amendment is a piece of legislation that ensures the protection and the most basic rights of both mother and child. And in 2013 also, 1,000 signatures were put to a document, and it was called the Dublin Declaration of Medical Maternal Care. And it was very clear that these doctors affirmed that there's no medical need to intervene or to take the life of the unborn child in order to save the mother. So when we have something that works, why change it? Science tells us now that the baby in the womb is an individual, unique individual human being. And Ireland being one of the highest ranking countries in the world where women have the safest, as one of the safest places in the world to protect the mother and the child. That doesn't need to be changed.
Ivana?
Well, I would say, first of all, that, of course, the law in Ireland, in our jurisdiction, is very different from that in Northern Ireland or indeed in England and Wales, because in Ireland we have a written constitution, and the Eighth Amendment is not a piece of legislation. It is, in fact, a constitutional text. It can only be changed by a referendum of the people. And that's really the difficulty we face, is that we cannot amend it. We cannot legislate to introduce abortion in even the most tragic of circumstances that I've outlined, such as rape or incest, without deleting from the Constitution the text that bars us from legislating. I should say, in the case of the very tragic case of Savita Halappanavar, her parents have publicly called this week for a yes vote because they recognise that the Irish law, the Eighth Amendment, was implicated in her death. And indeed, the leading British obstetrician who chaired the independent inquiry into her death, Professor Arul Kumaran, was here in Ireland this week also calling for a yes vote. He has stated publicly that, in his view, the Eighth Amendment ties doctors' hands and prevents them from giving women, pregnant women, the medical care they need in cases such as Savita's, where a pregnancy poses a risk to health. Our law, the Constitution, requires that doctors cannot intervene unless the risk is a risk of death. So it's a very extreme bar, a very difficult assessment for doctors to make. And that's why we're seeing the vast majority of doctors who've come out on this have taken the view that it is time to repeal the Eighth Amendment. And of course, there's also the reality that over 170,000 women have travelled for abortion in the 35 years since the Eighth Amendment was inserted. So in order to enable us to care for those women here in Ireland with compassion, we need to be able to repeal the Eighth Amendment on Friday, vote yes, so that we can introduce the sort of sensible, compassionate legal framework that we see in most other European countries. And I should say, Stephen, the legislative model the government are proposing with cross-party support is actually quite different to that in the 1967 Abortion Act in England and Wales. It's closer to the continental European model. And I think it will enable us to treat our women here at home.
Obviously, we're taking calls on this today, 030 30 80 55 55. David Quinn is from the Iona Institute, part of the campaign. David, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Go ahead, David. Thanks for calling, for talking to
us. Okay, So, I mean, basically, I'm obviously campaigning for a no vote, and on the ground that, and this is what the yes side never seemed to mention, is the right to the unborn baby. So we have two lives here, two lives at stake. What the Constitution now does is it protects both lives. Ireland is a country that, you know, protects the unborn, protects the mother. We have as low a maternal death rate, if not lower, than the UK. The physical health of mothers is properly protected as well. Official data comparing Ireland with Scotland shows this. So if our abortion law is a problem, then why are we at least as safe as Britain in terms of care of pregnant women? But we are far safer than Britain, obviously, in terms of care of the unborn child. Because in Britain, there's almost 200,000 abortions a year. That is one abortion for every four live births. That's a hideous total. And as Josepha Madigan, who's the Fine Gael leader for the Yes campaign, has said, the planned law will bring Ireland into line with 21 out of 28 European countries. That includes countries like France and Denmark. Nobody pretends that the law of France and Denmark is restrictive. And nobody pretends that law is limited to the undoubtedly hard cases like rape and so-called fatal fetal abnormality. It goes far, far, far beyond that. We've been asked to vote for on Friday.
Let me let Ivana respond to you.
Well, I would say that those on the no side, like the Ione Institute, have been very vociferous in suggesting that that the law that's being proposed is not sufficiently restrictive, but they don't ever have an answer for what we are to do about women and girls who've been raped or victims of incest or who face fatal.
So what's your answer to the right to the unborn child, Ivana?
Health. And if I certainly wouldn't interrupt. I think this is far too important to debate. I think we need to.
Yeah, but answer the question.
Hold on.
Excuse me.
Let's let her finish, then you can come back to it.
I think we need to deal in a respectful manner with the arguments of both sides. And there is a question there for the no side as to how we can possibly address the real medical needs of women and girls who've been raped or become victims of incest or the other cases I've described. Now, the point I think that was raised was, what about rights of unborn? And we have a former Chief Justice, Ronan Keane, who's very clearly spelled out that there will still be, that the legislature will still be able to have regard to the rights of the unborn in devising a sensible legal framework through legislation to replace the constitutional bar on abortion. And I would say, as a lawyer, and I should say I was a practicing lawyer for many years, that it is very important that we would have the freedom as legislators, or the flexibility to be able to devise the sort of sensible and compassionate legal framework we see in other countries.
Okay.
That's why 1,500 doctors have called for a yes vote to repeal the Eighth Amendment, so we can have legislation far more appropriate to deal with this complex.
David Quinn, you can respond.
Okay. Yeah, well, first of all, it's 1,500 doctors out of about 20,000 in the country. But the second thing is, and some doctors have pointed this out, various pro-life doctors, have said when a pregnant woman presents herself to a doctor and she is healthy and the baby she's carrying is healthy, what is the doctor meant to be healing? The principal vocation of a doctor is obviously to be a healer. And doctors have been asked now, if this law passes, to hand out an abortion pill that will end the life of one of their patients. The absolute opposite of healing. And that is just a seismic shift in what the medical profession is supposed to be about. It is actually an inversion and a subversion of the true calling of medicine, which is healing. When there's two lives, you must look after two lives. The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar on one of the RTE programmes last week was asked, you know, when do you have two patients? And his answer basically was, not before viability, which is about 6 months, unless the woman says so. But there's another way of saying that the unwanted baby in the womb has no rights. And that's what's at stake here. That's what the Eighth Amendment protects. And the wisdom of the Eighth Amendment has been proven by the fact that so many countries now have these very wide-ranging abortion laws. I mentioned France, I mentioned Denmark. We don't even have to mention Britain. France and Denmark both allow abortion for any reason up to 12 weeks. And after that, on various grounds, such as mental health, which is the key ground in the UK that permits the 200,000 abortions. So our law is extremely protective of both lives, and we cannot vote on Friday to change the law so that we can legally end the life of a healthy baby being carried by a healthy mother, because that is not healthcare by any proper definition of that term.
The Green Party MLA Claire Bailey joining us now. If there is a yes vote, Claire, how will that affect Northern Ireland?
Good morning, Stephen. If there is a yes vote on Friday, and I really do hope that there is, And just on that point, I think it's very important to remember that the vote on Friday is not a vote for abortion law. The vote on Friday in Ireland is a vote to remove or retain fetal rights as equal rights in the constitutional law. So if that does pass on Friday, then it will then move to the government to then legislate for abortion law. So those other debates about, you know, when an abortion should be provided, free, safe and legal for women, will come after Friday if the Eighth Amendment is voted to be removed from the law. But in terms of how that will affect Northern Ireland, it will still, you know, it won't change our laws here. It won't change the circumstances here. It will simply leave us in a position where we in Northern Ireland are left again in a very precarious situation where other jurisdictions, including the rest of GB and Ireland across these islands, have moved far beyond where we are. So we will continue to uphold our laws and keep women at risk. And of course, if the Eighth Amendment is voted to be withdrawn, that really brings Ireland in line with where we are legislatively here in Northern Ireland.
Bernie?
Yeah, well, what Claire is actually saying when she refers to the Eighth Amendment, if there's a yes vote, all legal protection will be removed from unborn children. And clearly what Claire is advocating here is abortion on demand right up to the moment of birth. Yes, we do note that we would be left in a vulnerable position, but we must continue, regardless, to be a voice for those vulnerable unborn children and to do the best for women in crisis pregnancy. And when we look at the law in the Republic of Ireland and those women who travel, which I have to say has decreased over the last number of years by over 50%, but it's very clear that none of those women who travel to the UK, lives were at risk, because all medical care, as is, in, is the same here in Northern Ireland, is provided for women. No women in Ireland are dying because they can't access medical treatment. But what she's actually saying is clearly to remove all legal protection to the unborn child that is there. And I am very confident that on Friday, the vast majority of people in Ireland will vote to protect both mother and unborn child.
Okay.
Because we live in a civilised society that should care and love for both.
Let's let Claire respond.
The vulnerable mother and child.
I think it's important to remember that abortion is not now, Ireland is not now, nor never has been, abortion free. You know, women are travelling. Women are travelling every single day. They're also going online to order pills. And we really need to be looking at why that is and providing the safe healthcare that they need at home. Rather
but it's
than
not healthcare. Abortion's not healthcare, Claire. It's not healthcare.
They don't know the people, where they don't have people around them, and we need to look at the issues. You know, so the law currently isn't working because it's not stopping
currently
women
is
traveling.
Working.
It is not stopping women accessing the healthcare.
Provide them with better care and loving
women
support, Claire.
From exercising
resources.
Their right to choose whenever they feel that this is the best decision for them.
But many women make that decision because they're not informed. When you say you trust women, you don't really trust women because you're not giving women all the facts. The facts that clearly outline that abortion
always.
Can cause psychological conditions. And it's been very clear in the 2011, there was an actual in Westminster in the Royal College of Psychiatry. It was very clear that it showed 81% of women who have abortion suffer some adverse effects. And there is now a link, research into a link with breast cancer. We can see now that women who have abortions are at risk to preterm birth.
Well, you say those
you say those
links to breast cancer and things, and I would want to see very detailed medical
well,
reports.
I can give those
well,
to
you can give me
what you choose to read
and what you choose to say. I just would want to see a fuller picture of that before we start. Allowing that to go unchallenged. Bernie Smith, Claire Bailey, thank you very much indeed.